This series of presentations concerning Christian apologetics is offered for the edification of all students of God's Word by spiritandtruth.org. Dr. Paul Hennebury, president of TELUS Biblical Institute, will lead our study. It is our prayer that these presentations will deepen your understanding of the Bible and allow you to draw closer in your relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now let's begin our time of study with Dr. Hennebury.
We're running through the major schools of Christian apologetics. And so far we've covered the classical, the evidential, the verificational, the reformed epistemological, and what we might call the presuppositional approach that's not really presuppositional. That's where we've got to so far. Now, before we go on to what I think is the true approach and the correct presuppositional approach, let me just say this. I want to say that that God can and does use people who use all of these different approaches. He's not concerned with whether Paul Hennebury agrees with them or not. He's concerned with their service for him, with their sincerity, with their godliness, with the fact that they want to yield themselves to the Holy Spirit. And he will use them because of that and because of other reasons. Here I'm not condemning any of these approaches. I'm simply saying that these are approaches which I think are sub-biblical. And I'll explain a little bit more why that's the case in this lecture. Furthermore, I want to say this, that each of these approaches has important truths which a presuppositionalist can learn about and learn from. It is important that we can use arguments from design, for example, arguments for first cause, in a way that argues for the triune God of Scripture. And we can certainly do that. The only difference would be in how we start and where we're arguing to. I remind you that in the classical school, they're starting from the human being and from human rationality and the world around them to the existence of a God. Some of them would say, no, we're actually arguing part the way to the God of Scripture, and then we're going to introduce Scripture to argue the rest of the way. The problem with that, of course, is that you never really argue to the God of Scripture until you draft Scripture in. So you might as well draft Scripture in at the very beginning, since that's the God that you believe in. But you can certainly use these arguments in a different way to say this is the God of Scripture and this is a line of evidence that points to Him. The same thing with the evidential approaches, the same thing with a cumulative approach. Even though we must be careful, I think, to watch out for building a strong argument for God and the danger of getting the bricks knocked out by other arguments and never actually completing the edifice. Because we're always defending the different building blocks that we're using, the different arguments that we're putting in there. The Bible doesn't do things that way. It just says, hey, God exists, you know God exists, you're suppressing that knowledge, you need to yield to what your heart is telling you, what you already know is true, whether you've forgotten it or not, and you need to come and face the light. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 19, that light had come into the world, speaking about himself, but men loved darkness rather than light because of their deeds. And that's why they wouldn't come to the light. You know, it was an ethical problem. And that's got to be understood. The Bible can't be shoved aside in what it says about our approach to argumentation or facts. It has to be believed right up front. As it's going to be believed right up front, well, that's our great presupposition. That's what we're coming with. And we need to just be honest and open enough to admit that. We've talked about the Reformed epistemological approach, which says that there are certain truths that are inescapable. And we need to just own up to them and just, instead of arguing about whether we can know the external world, just say, well, yeah, of course we know the external world. Of course we know that we're conscious. Of course we know that there's such things as other minds and such things as ethical mores and things like that. And what are we even arguing about in these things? These are not things that we use when we're, for example, going to go shopping. You know, we'll go shopping and we'll go to a shop that buys the particular things that we need. We won't leave it up to a relativistic choice that we may make. We will lock our cars when we leave them. Why? Because we believe that there are people around, quite a lot of them, that will open the door of our car and drive off in it or take stuff out of it without our permission. So we believe that there are ethical mores. We believe, by the way, they shouldn't do things like that. But we lock our cars to stop them doing it. So we take all of these things for granted. We just like to fool ourselves that that's not the world that we're living in. So the Reformed epistemological approach certainly helps us to ground ourselves again in the world that we are unavoidably coming into contact with. We looked at the presuppositional approach, but we looked at what I call erroneous views of the word presupposition. Gordon Clark's approach and Ronald Nash's approach and people like that. We can certainly learn from some of their arguments, but we shouldn't call them presuppositional. The presuppositional approach that I'm advocating is the approach of Cornelius Van Til and Greg Barnson and Scott Oliphant and many others actually that employ to one degree or another this approach. The presuppositional approach is simply that we start with the Word of God. We start with what God says. And if God says that He's revealed His truth to us and revealed the truth about Himself to us, then that's true. If He says that we're suppressing that truth, then there is a problem of suppression that we have to admit to and that we have to understand if we're going to understand ourselves and the way that we think and the way that our rationality operates in the world. Reason is a gift and it's a tool that's been given to us so that we may know God and know His world. Unfortunately, when we shut God out, then we think that we can use our reason in an independent fashion. And we can repaint the world in colors that we prefer in our independence. That in and of itself is a proof that we are denying the existence of God and sinfully using our own autonomy to recreate the world and recreate ourselves in our own image. And sometimes, if we want to get religious, recreate another God in our own image. So the presuppositional approach says, look, God has designed one world, and it's the world that we live in. It's the reality that we inhabit. And if we're going to make sense of that reality, then we're going to have to agree with what the Maker has done. We're going to have to reinterpret the world so that our interpretation is in line with the interpretation of its creator. Because the world is fallen, that is, because it is sinful, because it is in rebellion from God, because it is stained by death and sin and disease and violence and unfairness and all of these other things that we're all too familiar with in life, that reality has to be owned up to in a biblical light. And the biblical light is that we're part of the problem. We're sinners. And sin has come into the world through our first parents and through our relationship to our first parents. Sin is a great reality that we should just face up to, because when we face up to it, we understand why we don't want to come face to face with the Holy God, why we would rather be our own saviors rather than have the Son of God be our savior, why we would like to create heaven for ourselves rather than be righteous and holy and pure and inhabit the kind of heaven that a righteous, holy and pure God inhabits. The great questions of why we can do science, why we can employ logic and it actually works in the extended world, these things are also explained by a God who is pure rationality, who doesn't change, who is not capricious, who is always truthful, and who has promised to uphold the world in uniformity until the new heavens and the new earth. That, you see, is an undergirding presupposition that we bring to our outlook on the world, which actually proves to be in line with our experience. So the presuppositional approach is all about saying to the unbeliever, look, you use borrowed capital, you talk about logic, and you talk about scientific evidence, and you talk about all of these things that you argue for, but you don't ask yourself, how come you can do this? Where do these things like rationality and consciousness and memory and truth and logic and beauty and morality, all of these different things, where do they come from? Where does information come from? You know, all of these things come from persons, from minds. And so, who is the mind? What kind of mind do these things come from? It can't come from a capricious mind that's going to change from one day to the next. It can't come from a impersonal force, because these are personal qualities. Must come from an eternal, good, loving, rational mind. The mind of God. The mind of the God who is our creator. And who in our heart of hearts we already know, but we're running from. That's what the presuppositional approach basically is doing. It's trying to confront us with what we already know. The existence and reality of our Creator, God.